Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business, and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, welcome everyone, welcome. I'm going to start today's show by reading you a list. Fibromyalgia, hypertension, heart disease, certain cancers, type 2 diabetes, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's. These are all just a few of the diseases that might be helped by the hormone we call vitamin D. My first guest today is a leading vitamin D expert, Dr. Michael Hollick, and he's going to share the latest findings on vitamin D and why it's so critical to our health. This is a really timely discussion because Dr. Hollick's been part of a team that has put together new recommendations for the U.S. guidelines on dosage limits, and apparently that's going to be released in the next month or two. And coming later in the show, we'll talk live with Dr. Craig Martin. If you've ever asked yourself, why haven't I found my life partner? Or why isn't my relationship working out? Or why isn't my marriage working out? Well, Dr. Craig Martin has some answers for you. He's a specialist in the love field, but he's much more than that. He's actually a relationship and spiritual counselor, a celebrity astrologer, and has a lot to say on how to live and love better. First, we're going to bring on Dr. Michael Hollick. Now, I sat down with Dr. Hollick a couple of weeks back, and we did a pre-recording on this show. I wanted to know why vitamin D could be the answer to so many of our health problems, because all of these reports started coming out in the media telling us this may happen and this may not happen, but I wanted to get to the whys and how it affects us. Dr. Hollick is a professor of medicine, physiology, and biophysics. He's the director of the General Clinical Research Center, director of the Vitamin D Skin and Bone Research Laboratory. He's also the director of biological effects of light research at the research center at the Boston University Medical Center. So he's a very, very busy man. He's very much in demand. And he's passionate about getting us back on track and stopping this epidemic of vitamin D deficiency in America. His new book is called The Vitamin D Solution, a three-step strategy to help cure our most common health problems. And we're going to bring that interview to you now. I had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to do this interview. So here it is now, Dr. Michael Hollick. Okay, so Dr. Hollick, I want to, first of all, thank you for being with us today on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. I want to refer to a statement that you made. You said everyone needs to be aware of the vitamin D deficiency pandemic and its insidious health consequences. Quite a strong statement there. So let's begin there. Why, when we know so much about the benefits of vitamin D, are so many of us deficient? And is it really at pandemic levels?
I'll give you some perspective about the vitamin D deficiency epidemic in the United States. Just recently, from a government-sponsored study, it was reported that 50% of children ages 1 to 5 years of age deficient or insufficient. Children 6 to 11 years of age, 70% deficient or insufficient. It's estimated that 50 million teenagers in the United States are vitamin D deficient or insufficient. They have a 2.4-fold higher risk of having high blood pressure, 2.5-fold increased risk of having high blood sugar, and a 4-fold increased risk of having pre-type 2 diabetes.
And that's in children?
Correct. And in adults, it's estimated that anywhere from 50 to 100% of adults are vitamin D deficient because they're not getting enough sensible sun exposure, they're working all the time or they're always wearing sun protection, and they're not taking a vitamin D supplement and they're not getting very much vitamin D from food. So, for example, naturally occurring foods like mushrooms, especially those that are exposed to ultraviolet light, and wild-caught salmon are good sources of vitamin D, as are dairy products fortified with vitamin D like milk and some juice products like Minute Maid orange juice. Supplements are a very good source. and Nature Made has 400 units for children in a chewable form, flavored, which is very nice, and 1,000, 2,000, and even 5,000 unit supplement. I personally take 2,000 units of vitamin D a day, and I get some sensible sun exposure, arms and legs a couple of times a week when I'm cycling or playing tennis, with good sun protection on my face. And I also drink about 3 glasses of milk a day and a glass of vitamin D fortified orange juice.
Okay, because I looked at my supplement. I have lots of questions for you, but let's go to this. I looked at my daily supplement, and it's 200%, it said, of the recommended dose, and it's only 800 units. And you said you personally yourself take 2,000 units a day. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
It turns out that the recommendations right now are very low, and this is from the Institute of Medicine's report in 1997, and I was actually on that committee back when we made these recommendations, and even then we knew that these recommendations were much too low, but unfortunately there was no good published literature to substantiate increasing the amount of vitamin D.
Okay.
The new committee that's meeting as we speak, they're going to be coming out with new recommendations within the next 2 to 3 months, and I suspect that those recommendations are going to be substantially increased.
Mm.
For example, we know a study done in Finland, children during their first year of life getting 2,000 units of vitamin D a day, followed for 31 years, reduced their risk of getting type 1 diabetes by 88%.
That's pretty
Women
significant.
Had the most intake of vitamin D out of the Nurses Health Study in Harvard, reduced risk of developing multiple sclerosis by 42%.
So how do we know if we're vitamin D deficient? Is there a simple blood test that we take? How is it measured?
Yeah, it's an excellent question, Vicki. It turns out that you can go to your doctor and ask for a 25-hydroxy vitamin D test. It is the measure of your vitamin D status. It can be quite expensive. Medicare reimburses at about $40, but some laboratories could charge up to $225 for this assay. And so my recommendation is to follow, as I point out, in the vitamin D solution, is to get your vitamin D from dietary sources as well as from supplemental sources and some sensible sun exposure. But if you're obese, if you're taking medications that destroy vitamin D, such as anti-seizure medications or steroids, if you have any kind of intestinal malabsorption problem, like cystic fibrosis or inflammatory bowel disease, where you can't absorb vitamin D very well, or if you're obese, and we know that obese people are at much higher risk for vitamin D deficiency, all of them should be tested for their vitamin D status. But for the person who's otherwise healthy, has normal weight, taking vitamin D from diet, supplements, and sensible sun exposure should satisfy their requirement.
Okay, and you mentioned some of those diet issues earlier. I wanted to talk about sunlight a little bit, because I read that it doesn't even have to be sunny for us to absorb vitamin D. If we're outside for about 10 minutes in daylight, that's good enough. Is that true or is that not true?
Yeah, in the vitamin D solution, I actually have at the end of the book chart to show anyone, anywhere, any time of the day for any skin type, how long to be outside. And I'll give you a couple of examples. You basically cannot make any vitamin D in your skin in the early morning or late afternoon, even in the summertime. You cannot make any vitamin D if you live above Atlanta, Georgia, between the months of November through February.
Oh, wow.
We also know that if you are African-American, you need to be outside 5 to 10 times longer. Or if you're putting a sunscreen on with a sun protection factor of 30, it reduces your ability to make vitamin D in your skin by as much as 95 to 99%. However, on a cloudy day, depending upon how cloudy it is, you will make vitamin D, and the clouds will usually reduce that ability by about 40 to 60%.
Now, is there a correlation between vitamin D deficiency and depression?
There is evidence to suggest that vitamin D receptors exist in your brain, and as I point out in the vitamin D solution, there are studies that have reported that people feel better when they take vitamin D, that there is one study in patients with depression that had significant improvement in their depressive symptoms. We know also that schizophrenia is associated with vitamin D deficiency, and especially in utero, vitamin D deficiency increases risk of that child developing vitamin D deficiency later in life. We also know that there is an association now with vitamin D deficiency and increased risk of Alzheimer's disease.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, I know there's been some talk of vitamin D with multiple sclerosis. And normally, if we talk about multiple sclerosis looking for cure, we say we'd find the cure for Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. I've had several doctors say that. So does that also go across the board with vitamin D? Is it good for MS, too, and for people with Parkinson's disease?
Yeah, we've reported, and one of my colleagues, Dr. Tang Preacher in Emory, reported that vitamin D deficiency is very common in patients with multiple sclerosis and Parkinson's disease. Vitamin D is very important for improving muscle strength. So I see a lot of patients with multiple sclerosis, especially early onset multiple sclerosis, and if I give them a large amount of vitamin D, usually on average about 3 to 4,000 units of vitamin D a day on average, that they have substantial improvement in their muscle function and may even prolong their honeymoon period before their next episode of multiple sclerosis. And for patients with Parkinson's disease, they do have increased instability as well because it improves muscle function. But I want to make it clear to your listeners that vitamin D does not cure these diseases. It is not a treatment for these diseases.
Right.
It is a prevention for many chronic illnesses and helps improve bone health and muscle function.
Right. Good point. And I want to talk about something that we've just had a lot of studies released in the media lately about vitamin D and cancer. You do say on your website that it could possibly help prevent some kinds of cancers. But there's also some recent studies that came out on ABC News where it said that they'd been researching and it was shown that vitamin D can not only help prevent cancer, but can actually kill human cancer cells in certain kinds of cancer. I wonder if you'd talk on that a little.
Yeah, we've actually done studies as well in animal models demonstrating that if you make an animal vitamin D deficient, the tumor grows about 40% faster than if you simply give a mouse vitamin D. And we showed also in cancer patients at our hospital that more than 80% were vitamin D deficient. And so we believe that if you increase your vitamin D intake, if you have cancer, that it may help you fight the cancer, but more importantly, may help you with the chemotherapy in fighting the cancer.
That's really significant. Well, let's talk about inflammatory disease. You kind of touched on that earlier. How does it help inflammatory disease? Because we hear again that all diseases start with inflammation in the body.
Yeah, it's an excellent question. And it turns out that your immune system is basically modulated by vitamin D so that it helps the immune cells and reduces the immune cell from recognizing your own body, which of course is the major cause for various autoimmune diseases. And so it alters the types of immune cells that are active in the body and helps those immune cells be more responsible in your body to reduce your risk of autoimmune diseases.
Yeah.
But we also know that the white blood cells that fight infection, if they get vitamin D, they can activate it. And by activating it locally, a group out at UCLA, Dr. Maudlin and Dr. Adams, showed that it can tell the cell to kill infective agents like tuberculosis and maybe even influenza virus. There was a study done in Japan recently where young school children receiving 1,200 units of vitamin D a day from December through March of last year reduced their risk of getting influenza A infection by 50%.
That's really significant, isn't it? Really significant. How common is vitamin D deficiency with celiac disease? I have a friend who just was told she had celiac disease and had to increase doses of vitamin D. I don't know if that is actually true, or she read it in a magazine article somewhere.
No, it's very true. In fact, often we pick up vitamin we pick up celiac disease, because when we see a patient that's vitamin D deficient and we treat them for their vitamin D deficiency, that they don't change their blood level. And we then suspect that they have a malabsorption problem, but they don't complain of any gastrointestinal problems. We test them for celiac disease, find that they have it, they go on a gluten-free diet, and now they can absorb vitamin D and they're perfectly fine. So yes, celiac disease, which is probably one of the most common gastrointestinal diseases that is really not appreciated by either physicians or the public, is a major cause of vitamin D deficiency.
Interesting. Now, how about thyroid, the thyroid disease, because that seems to be on the increase. Almost everybody I speak with has a thyroid problem lately. Any connection there with vitamin D?
There is some evidence that there's a particular kind of thyroid disease called Graves' disease. It's an autoimmune disease, and they're beginning to link it to vitamin D deficiency. And if you have hyperthyroidism, where you have overactive thyroid gland, you can increase your destruction of vitamin D, so you may need a little bit more vitamin D to satisfy your requirement.
Okay. Well, you've shared some excellent information with us this morning, Dr. Hollick. Since vitamin D is not technically a vitamin, I understand it's the name given to a group of fat-soluble pro-hormones, whatever that means. What does it actually do to our body to help us in this? What is it doing?
Sure. So you're correct. Vitamin D is not a vitamin by definition, because a vitamin means that you have to get it from your diet. Whereas you can make vitamin D in your skin, and it has to go to your liver and kidney where it gets activated. So by definition, it is a hormone. There's about 2,000 genes in the body that are regulated directly or indirectly by vitamin D. And that's why vitamin D is so important. And reducing risk of common cancers, colon, prostate, breast by about 50%. Reducing risk of high blood pressure, peripheral vascular disease, heart disease by as much as 50%.
Wow.
This is risk of infectious diseases, autoimmune diseases, as well as to reduce risk of type 2 diabetes.
Okay, and all of the answers are in Dr. Michael Hollick's book, The Vitamin D Solution. You also, Michael, have an excellent website. What would you give out your website, please?
Sure, it's drholicksdsolution.com, so DrHollicks. dsolution.com.
And there's about 30 pages of information on it. It's really, really good. Thank you so much for being with us today, Dr. Michael Hollick. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, Vicky.
Thank you. And I sat down with Dr. Michael Hollick a couple of weeks back and did that interview early one morning. And it is timely because of all these studies that are coming out and the proposed changes to FDA regulations regarding dosage. He just gave you a website, Dr. Hollick Solution. But the better website for information, I want to make sure you have that, is vitamindhealth.org, vitamindhealth.org. And there's a ton of information up there about various diseases and illnesses and how vitamin D may interact to help improve things with those diseases. And again, I want to stress that he said it's not a prevention. He's not promoting vitamin D as a prevention for illness. Oh, excuse me. Yes, as a prevention for illness. It's not a cure. But it may help actually ease the symptoms if you've already got it, or it may help prevent it in the future. So let me just clarify that, because I just screwed that up. It is a prevention for many illnesses for some people, but it is not a cure. And it also promotes good bone health and muscle functions. Now, coincidentally, I was standing in the grocery store checkout line, and I saw this article in this magazine, so I picked it up. It's called First for Women. I've never seen this magazine before. I guess it's out there. I guess it's been around a while, but it's called First for Women. And there was an article on the front of it saying, Dr. Oz's thyroid cure. Discover the vitamin that works better than a prescription. So I picked it up and took a look, and he talked about vitamin D. So I went ahead and bought the magazine so we could just run through this real quickly to follow Dr. Hollick's advice. And Dr. Oz says that if you have problems with your thyroid, up your vitamin D intake. One of the most important ways to heal the thyroid is to get enough vitamin D. He says the nutrient helps the gland cope with stress and convert inactive T4 into active T3 hormone, and it can even act like T3 if the body's levels wane. And Dr. Oz advises aiming for 1,000 to 1,200 IU of vitamin D daily. And I think Dr. Hollick said he took 2,800. So again, it's a personal choice, but you know, it's good to have this information that we can make our own decisions about what's good for us. If you want to catch the interview again, you can go to conversationslive.net. David will have that up. Usually has it up on Monday, but if not, it will be up on Tuesday for sure. Just go to the homepage and you can click on the homepage on the homepage podcast bar and listen to it straight away. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Craig Martin about elemental love styles. He'll tell us how to find compatibility and create lasting relationships. Please stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Coming next week on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, we continue our third Monday series with market strategist and business consultant Amy Harcourt. Whether you're a full-time business owner moonlighting a few hours per month or need to raise extra cash, next week's show is for you. We'll discuss progressive insights on how to set a price point, how to know when it's time to increase your fees, and how to compete against lower bids. We'll also discuss the ever-controversial question, should you bid on an hourly basis or per project? And what to do if you really, really want the project, but the client won't meet your rate. That's coming Monday, July 19th at noon Pacific on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. If you've thoughts on pricing and establishing fees, join the conversation. Send your best practices or questions to live@conversationslive.net or call 800-495-7617.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Talk radio to brighten your day.
Alternative Talk 1150 is now being broadcast in digital quality on FM 98.9 HD3. So rejoice, you early adopters of technology.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Well, we're going to talk about something entirely different in this segment. We're talking with Dr. Craig Martin, or Dr. Craig, as most people know him. And Dr. Craig himself has a really interesting background, but he's also written a very interesting book. Dr. Craig Martin is a spiritual counselor, relationship expert, and the author of Elemental Love Styles, Find Compatibility and Create a Lasting Relationship. He provides counseling based on astrology, and his lifetime of studying worldwide spiritual practices like the Kabbalah, Druid mysticism, the Norse runes, Native American shamanism, and other ritual experiences. I've immersed myself in many spiritual practices, he says, and I've always learned great lessons, whether it's about stillness or joy. I continue to find tangible pearls of spiritual insights from every culture, says Dr. Craig. Dr. Craig, welcome to the show today.
Thanks so much, Vicky. It's great to be here.
Well, I said you have an interesting background. You certainly combined many, many elements into your lifestyle and your career. I wonder if we could just share a little bit more about your background. You are a spiritual and relationship counselor. How did that involve, how did you incorporate your spiritual practices? Tell us a little bit about how it all came together.
It's interesting because I started off predominantly as a chiropractor in New York City, which I did for about 20 years. And I just realized right away that people's physical maladies, the things that they were suffering with in the physical body, had so much to do with a spiritual or emotional dilemma. And I found myself talking with my clients in that practice quite a bit about what was going on outside of their, you know, sort of the more mundane. It wasn't all about, you know, what posture are you taking at your desk, or, you know, did you lift the turkey wrong out of the oven at Thanksgiving? It was always something deeper than that that was going on for them in what I saw was going, was a part of their physical pain. So I knew that at some point I needed to start integrating, you know, spiritual, my own love of the spiritual, and cultural experience and travel into what I saw as a healing method. And so at a certain point, I made a choice to study homeopathy, which is a very holistic and energetic medicine, and then to become an interfaith minister. So as opposed to taking a path towards psychology, which I could have done, we have that in my family, and I have a lot of respect for that, I decided to approach what people were going through in the crises and dilemmas of their lives from a spiritual approach, and rather say, I don't need to give you an emotional diagnosis, I need to give you a spiritual diagnosis. And that brought in something that I had been doing for many, many years just for family and friends, which was astrology, probably my great passion and love, because I find that it's so deep and complicated and so spot on. And I started doing readings and astrological work with my chiropractic practice in New York, and then they all seemed to want that. You know, they were all coming in for counseling. Mm-hmm. And it was fairly easy then to switch over my practice fully to doing counseling and interfaith counseling and astrological work with a whole new practice that I developed and have been doing now for almost 10 years. You know, the overlap was almost 10 years, and now I've been doing it exclusively for 10 years.
Right. It's quite fascinating how that's all converged for you. But I know that your work really is all about self-discovery.
Right.
So many relationship books focus on, you know, the other person out there when we really need to begin with ourselves. But so many people don't like introspection. And you say it doesn't have to be hard. It can be very simple. I wonder if you talk a little bit about your philosophy on introspection.
Sure. That's an awesome question. You know, I knew very early on, I guess, even when I was in chiropractic school and before that, when astrology had first come into my life, that there was a need to become accountable to what it was that I brought to the table in every relationship. So it did begin as something very personal, where I thought, wow, here's a really simple, you know, we know all about our astrological sign, let's say, very simple, you know, like what is an Aries or a Scorpio, and it lists the qualities, you know, the good ones and the bad ones.
Right.
And I was very much like, wow, that's really spot on. You know, I had to be honest with myself that if I was, you know, these good qualities that were all on this side, I might also be these, you know, less tasteful, more difficult qualities. And it wasn't just for me to, like, read it and, oh, get a little laugh that I might be that way also, but to be able to say, wow, there's something really powerful in there for me to take an accountability. And I say that the smallest change in our ability to take a look at our personality creates the biggest change in our external environment. I can give you lots of examples, but just say one you know, little example for myself might be, I'm a Scorpio. There might have been a time in my life where I was a lot more sarcastic, and I still can be sarcastic in humor and stuff like that. But I found that over time, maybe sarcasm didn't go well with people so well. You know, like they don't really like it so much. So unless it's being used in a certain kind of way. So I had to say, well, I am that way. I just read it straight out of Being a Scorpio, and I had to say, well, I am that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so what could I do to say, take a look at that. I just got an amazing quote that a client sent me from the Dalai Lama that I think is appropriate right here. And he said that we all have a set of positive and negative qualities. Take fear, for instance, or anger. We can act in an angry way based on a certain behavioral pattern that we have established, but we need to recognize we have other behaviors we could choose from. That's what's easy about it, is that I can be sarcastic or I could just be witty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could say that I use that bit of, you know, that it's snarky or whatever. I could come across that way, or I could just say, you know what, that alienates a lot of people. And if all I'm trying to do is be funny, maybe I can modify that in some way. That's why I say that it's easy, because it isn't about judgment. I think what happens for most people is that they think that if they're going to look at their personality and find something that might be a little hard for other people to swallow, that it means that there's something wrong with them or that there's something bad in their personality. I'd like to joke that we all have the disease BAD. Bad. We're all like bad. Somehow we were told we were all told this when we were little. There's always something, right, about our personality that our parents judge, that our friends judge, and then we go off and we think, oh my God, that part of me is actually bad. It's a really not a good part of me. It isn't about that kind of judgment. Being a human being, you know, I mean, I guess this might be a sort of a simple thing to say, but being a human being is not a perfect experience. So if we do have qualities in our personality that are harder for other people to put up with, quite frankly, wouldn't it be good to just take a look at what those qualities were and say, well, maybe I can work, not because I'm bad, just because I'm human.
And some people are going to cope with those qualities or not even notice the qualities that really bother other people. I just said to Valerie Dunn, who's standing in for Eric Ryder today, she's keeping us live on the air, and I just said, your book said, I'm bossy. So let's take a look at the book that you've written here, Elemental Love Styles, Finding Compatibility and Create a Lasting Relationship. And you broke it down based on all of the work that you've been doing, astrology and your spiritualism and relationship counseling. You broke it down into four styles. You realized that really we all fell into four categories. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Sure. This even goes back to my work as a holistic doctor, where, you know, health can be viewed in the four element way. You know, if we have a body temperature, that's the fire of the body. And we all breathe air, and the body is mostly water, and then we have bones and muscles, and that's earth. And that's what we're talking about for your listeners. It's just the natural elements, fire, air, water, and earth. Very simple. But why are they in our, you know, cultural language for so many years? Why do we even talk about these elements? It's because that for a long time, the whole world was viewed that way, including the human body and health. Was even viewed that way. Like if you had too much fire, you had a fever, and if you have not enough fire, you have the chills, you know? Mm-hmm. If you have too much air, you're hyperventilating. If you have not enough air, you're out of breath. Or if you have too much water, you're swollen. Not enough water, you're dehydrated. It's very interesting that we can say, like, wow, okay, so those elements really are present in our lives. Why wouldn't they be present in our personality and in our interactions with those people we love?
Now, are there some styles, you talked about them, fire, water, earth, and air.
Right.
Are there some styles that are more compatible? Or I know throughout the course of your book, you talk about how we counteract our negatives and how we can interact with each other. But are there some styles that are more compatible with less work?
Yes. The answer to that, truthfully, is yes. Although I think that that every relationship deserves a chance, right? And you brought up something just a second ago, which is that some people may not be bothered by certain things and might be bothered by others, okay? The people that we pick in our lives, the person, especially the primary romantic relationship, that relationship is actually going to steer, guide what it is that we look at in this lifetime. So the people we have around this, the type of people we choose, and particularly this intimate partner, is going to guide what we learn about ourselves and how we grow. So, yes, we can choose something that's potentially easier, more compatible, you might might say, and that would be fire and air and water and earth. Those two combinations have a tendency to go better together. Also, I think elements of a similar quality go well together because they understand each other. So like a fire-fire, an earth-earth combination. You have a tendency to have less conflict than if you obviously put fire and water together.
Right. It makes sense because, I mean, that happens in nature too. So
Right. There's
a lot of sense in that. Now, you have a little test on your website that people can take to find out what their primary, and you're talking predominant personality is here.
Right.
Because we're all a little bit of everything depending
Correct.
On different circumstances. But you also have a more in-depth one in the book. So I wonder if we could take a very high-level look at each category. Like, I took it and I was fire. So
Okay. What
are a couple of my good qualities, please?
Yeah, of course.
And some of my the things I need to work on.
We always start off with that. And I always like to say that people don't have relationship problems and relationship struggles because of the good stuff.
Right, right.
We all have the good stuff. That's a given, you know. Fiery people are leaders. They're extremely creative. They become the center of attention because they're role models for the rest of us, because they're leading the way. Innovation, creativity, big ideas, you know, the life of the party. This is the kind of energy that people want to be around, right? Fire.
Mm-hmm.
We put it in the fireplace and we sit around it because it's warm and it casts a glow, and it's very nice to be in front of fire, you know? We certainly can read by it.
Right. And then some of the not-so-good traits, the ones we need to be aware of. And
right. For fire, it's definitely going to be that overpowering. When they have a need to have their vision, this is what fire is, very visionary. And if they feel like they need to force that vision onto others because they are fearful their vision isn't being listened to or something, you know, along that line, then they will overpower, overwhelm. Yeah, there will be a bossy quality to a fire person because they will insist that their vision is adhered to.
Okay. And then air is somebody who might be social and chatty, you say?
Yeah. Social, chatty, intellectual, informed. They're very funny, and they're incredibly good communicators, mediators. There's tons of jobs that different elements do, but they're the kind of people that are very hospitable and social and can set up parties and, you know, do this kind of thing. But they're also writers, journalists, teachers, all the different kinds of things that are involved in communication. In a relationship, they bring a lot of information. They keep us mentally and intellectually stimulated. There's never sort of a lull with an air type person because they're always sort of on the go, learning something new, keeping themselves informed, multitasking.
Mm-hmm.
So they're stimulating.
And what about their downside?
The downside really is that they can be scattered. Because they're so preoccupied, they can have a very preoccupied mind, so they can be scattered, unfocused, and insensitive. It can come across as a kind of insensitivity when we're with an air type. I think we know, we all know the kind of person who's basically we could come to them and, you know, we could say, you know, this is going on in our lives. They'll give us a couple of seconds with it, but they're not really going to be a super great listener because they're flipping through a magazine or they're busy, they're off doing something else. You know, they're a capacity to maintain attention onto something that's very emotional is not their strong suit.
Yeah, good. I think I'm a bit of that sometimes too. water style, you say, is emotional.
The watery people are the emotional people, and we all know them because they are the good listeners, good storytellers, the imaginative people in our lives. They're the caretakers too. You know, they definitely have this. They're touched by life, you know, in a very moving. They're sentimental. They're domestic, but they're also nostalgic. They're the ones that love to continue to create a home. Very intense, intuitive people also. They have a lot of insight because they're observing patterns in relationships that are not necessarily verbal. You know, you don't always have to tell a water sign when you're, you know, maybe like feeling a little blue or whatever. They mm-hmm. just know that, whereas fire and air would never pick up on that unless you said it out loud. Mm. And so there's a great sensitivity that water people have, and it goes along with that imagination, active imagination.
And then as far as what they need to work on.
Yeah, water people are always having to work on oversensitivity, feeling like people don't get them, feeling misunderstood, and then as a result feeling grudge-holding or morose or, you know, brooding, those kinds of things. They can also be escapist because emotional situations for them are overwhelming, and they just want to back away from emotional situations and isolate themselves. You'll find sometimes water people would prefer to say, no, this is just all too heavy for me, and I'd rather just be, you know, isolated right now, and they disappear.
Uh-huh. And then the last one is earth, which kind of practical.
Yeah, they get the job done, you know. I mean, we have to have earth style because otherwise nothing would ever, there'd be no tangible results. They have a very practical side, but again, it doesn't mean that they're not creative because things like architecture, engineering is very practical. Science in general is very practical, and yet it has a very creative bent to it, you know. So earth people, they prefer to have a reliable, dependable, steadfast. They want something linear. They're willing to, I think, broaden their horizons in a way as long as their reasons are explained. They don't want to just really accept things on face value, and that makes them very capable of, you know, producing results. That's mm-hmm. what we expect from Earth, is that they have a strong output quotient.
Right, right. And then what they need to work on?
They have to work on being too fixed in that, you know, rigidity, having a lot of rules, overvaluing the material world, right, possessiveness or any kind of avarice that the Earth-style people can have, because that's where their values get placed. So it just could also be strict behavior, sternness, and lack of flexibility.
Okay. Very good. Well, we're going to take a quick break, Dr. Craig, and when we come back, I'd like to look at how some of these mix together.
Okay.
And maybe we're in relationship with somebody and we're having a little difficulty, and you can help us understand why.
Perfect.
Please stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guest is Dr. Craig Martin. He is a spiritual and relationship counselor and has written a great new book called Elemental Love Styles, Finding Compatibility and Create a Lasting Relationship.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals at Paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. Paws.org or 425-787-2500.
If you missed a show on Conversations Live, check out conversationslive.net for dozens of free podcasts. Topics range from health and healing to business and career growth, from personal development to creativity, adventure, and the challenges of the human spirit. See conversationslive.net for talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. conversationslive.net, making a difference one word at a time.
Hi, I'm Andrea Kay, America's leading career expert. I know it's going to be a great conversation when Vicky St. Clair asked me to offer my career advice on her show. Vicky asks thoughtful questions, she's thorough, she works hard to bring you great guests who walk their talk with information and solutions that can lift your career and better your life so that you'll live well, live strong. My advice? Tune into our conversations and all the interviews on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair for thought-provoking insight and tips on the things that really matter in your life. And visit AndreaKay.com, that's Andrea, K-A-Y.com, for information about my books and loads of free practical advice and inspiration for your career.
Intuitive dream coach Joyce Chapman says there are no little dreams, that every desire is important, and that you deserve life to its fullest. As a dream activist, Joyce has helped thousands of people gain clarity about their lives and make positive changes. She can help you too. See more information at joycechapman.com. And if you have a question for Joyce regarding your dream, email joyce@joycechapman.com.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, talk radio to help you live well, live strong.
Tired of the insanity of other talk radio stations? Just click your radio knob and say, there's no place like Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And Dr. Craig Martin is my guest in this segment. He has such an interesting background, spiritual and relationship counselor. He works with a lot of people. He's a celebrity astrologer. He's studied many spiritual practices throughout his life when he started out as a chiropractor and homeopathic doctor. So all of this has come together, all of his knowledge in this book, Elemental Love Styles, Find Compatibility and Create a Lasting Relationship. And Dr. Craig, before the break, you were going over the four elements with us, personality types. And I was curious how our star signs play into this, if we're kind of wondering which category we fall into.
Absolutely.
Do they? And if so, how?
Yeah, they do. I think our astrological chart is a fairly complicated thing. So astrology is a complicated topic. It's not just horoscopes. But yes, in general, if someone were to say to me that they're a Taurus, then they're going to have some earthy characteristics. If someone were to say that they were a Cancer or a Scorpio, they're going to have some watery characteristics. That doesn't always correspond with what your principal elemental type would be, because, like I said, the chart is more complicated than that.
Yes.
But people can start there. They can start with saying, like, oh, what's my sun sign, what you said, my star sign? And if it's an Aries, then you definitely have some fiery qualities. And you can begin looking at relationships from that perspective, because where we want to be able to take the information is to say that if you're a fire, air, water, or earth, you have a specific set of needs that really need to be met in a relationship. The fire person, like you, Vicki, is going to have that strong personality, but what it is that you're looking for is someone that's going to be able to admire that contribution and allow you to enact your vision. You're the one that's going to always be having ideas and wanting to put them forth in the world, and the people in your lives that are going to offer you a lasting kind of situation for you, the compatibility that I describe in Elemental Love Styles, is really based on, can your partner give to you what it is that you most deeply need? And as a fire style person, that's going to be a certain amount of creative expression, that you're going to be allowed to do that, and that you're going to be admired for it in a way, that they're going to be able to appreciate that when you say, let's throw a party, let's go to France, let's take a class together, that energy is going to be fun and informative, and that it's going to come off as like a really big adventure, that all of that's going to be the contribution that you're bringing to the table. Mm. And people that see that in you and like that about you and want that in their lives and are capable of offering that back to you are the ones you're going to be able to most easily get along with in the long term.
Yeah. And it is funny because I had noticed, I said during the break, that I'll go back to an example that I found years and years and years ago, hiring practices. I mean, I did not know anybody's date of birth at all when I was working in banking and I was a manager.
Right.
But we used to have a birthday list when we got employees. We had a birthday list and we added them to the birthday list. And one day I was looking down this and I hired and my assistant hired. And I said, oh, boy, I said, we need to do something about this. We've got September through January birthdays, and we've got April and March birthdays, and that was it.
Right.
And we had 50 employees.
Right.
But neither one of us knew ever anybody's birth date when we were hiring.
Right.
So,
but those were the people that you actually were getting on with the best. And I think that the bottom line for me in relationships and with everyone that I've worked with was, if you can't work it out, you can't have a lasting relationship. So relationships need to start from the place of, I can work it out with you, then, wow, isn't it exciting that I'm so attracted to you? Not, oh my gosh, wow, I'm so attracted to you. Gee, I wonder if I can work it out with you. If lasting relationships were about that only, like, oh my gosh, I'm so attracted to you, you're so hot, it must be the perfect combination, then those relationships would last. And they don't.
Right.
And that's because something else gets in the way of those relationships lasting. And what that is the compatibility of meeting our deeper needs. We can find out what those deeper needs are by looking at ourselves elementally. It's very simple. I decided to write a book that was based on an elemental view of relationships, because that in spirituality across the board, when you talk about different cultural spiritual experiences and you say my background, that's what I pulled from there, that all of these cultural philosophies have in common. They all have some view of the world in an elemental way as a very basic. It's so easy. Like people, we have it in our common language. We say that people are really fiery. You can look at a little kid and you can go, wow, he's a really fiery little kid. You know, you can say that somebody's down to earth, you know. So we have it in our language already, that describing our personalities, and from there, it's a very simple jump to say, well, if our personalities have these qualities, then there must be, as you say, different ways of mixing them. You had talked about, you know, looking at mixing these elements and how they mix together and why they may or may not work out well. And it's really just based on in what way do they offer, you know, meeting your needs. If your needs are to have your creativity put out in the world, right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
A fire type person. Then a fire and an air and a water and an earth are going to meet that need in different ways for you. And you know, which one of those ways do you like? It doesn't mean that they all don't have the capability of, you know, just thinking that you're the cat's meow, right?
Right.
They all do. And then on the opposite side of it, it's which one can you offer back? What are you going to be good at offering back? Are you going to be good at offering back that, you know, emotional validation that the emotional people need? Are you going to be able to be on time and be practical and sensible with how you spend your money? Are you going to be able to just let somebody have freedom and space that an air style person might need, right? That's how you're going to be able to say, like, wow, I recognize that. I really can give that. Then you meet the guy that's on the go. He's got a lot of plans. He thinks you're really hot and cute, and you're like, you know what? I know. You're an air style person, and I already know in advance that I can actually give you the space that you need.
Okay, so you're not saying, if we're on a first date and we think we're going to be incompatible, it's all over, because it's not. We can be introspective and make it work, probably.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the same in marriages. If we're a fire married to an earth, all is not lost, because you tell us in your book very clearly how we can work together. You have a lot of really great examples in the book, Craig, and we've not had time to touch on hardly any of the book, but it is a very good book. What would you like to leave our listeners with today, Craig?
Oh, just basically that in your own relationships, you have to continue to give it a chance. You have to continue to listen to what it is that your partner is saying so that you can figure out how to work it out with them. And that if anyone wants to find out more about me, they could go to drcraig.com, and that my book is available at Amazon and all the major bookstores.
And it's Dr. Craig is spelled out. We need to say that.
Yeah, it's spelled out all the way, DrCraig.com.
Right, because if you just do DR, there's a whole different website out
there. It's easy to find me. I'm an astrologer. I'm based in Los Angeles. Dr. Craig Martin. Pretty much show up on the first page in all the search engines.
Okay, so before you go, what elemental style are you? And what's your partner?
Yeah, I'm very strongly fire and water.
Oh,
I pretty
good.
Much come up very strongly for both, which I think suits the work that I'm doing with people. And it's funny, my partner is air and earth.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, we have to go, but the book is great. It's called Elemental Love Styles, Find Compatibility and Create a Lasting Relationship. Dr. Craig Martin, you can find him at drcraig.com. And I want to thank Valerie Dunn for standing in for Eric today. Appreciate you being here with us, Valerie. And please stay tuned. Somebody else is coming in next, and we'll be back next week. Until then, live well, live strong.